Verses in chapter 3 for today's message. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Now from this section, I'm bringing a series of sermons about the first and second coming of Christ, because in this context they are intertwined and intermingled. And on Monday I talked about the preparation for his coming. Israel had got so wicked that they were asking the question, where is the God of judgment? Verse 17. And dear neighbor, the prophet said, he's going to come to his temple suddenly, and then he'll judge sin. They had got to the place that verse 17 said that they were calling evil good, and no doubt good evil, and saying, where is the God of judgment, and defying God. And perhaps, dear neighbor, the world we live in today is not much better off than they was in the day of Malachi. The Bible said when he comes back that it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And their sin prepared the way for his first coming. There was no other hope for Israel outside the coming of the Lord. And the sin of the world today is going to bring him back, dear neighbor. And they'll find out that he's the God of judgment, just like this Bible tells us he is. And I talked on Monday about the preparation for his coming. On yesterday, I talked about the person of his coming. Now today, I want to talk about the perplexity about his coming. Verse 17, they saw all the sin that was going on, and they said, where is the God of judgment? Now, dear neighbor, economically, Israel was depressed. Politically, they were depressed. And socially, they were pressed, and they were saying, where is God? And this is an age-old problem expressed in many ways. The theologians call it theodicy. Men will say, why does he allow war and starvation? If God is good, if God is kind, if God is merciful, if God is tender, why did he allow my son to be killed in the war? Why does he allow all these people to starve to death? And these were the questions that Israel was asking way back before he came the first time. Have you ever heard anybody say, why does righteous people have such a hard time and such a bad time, and unrighteous people have a good time? Why do the ungodly live in luxury and the godly live in poverty? And dear neighbor, just like it was in the day of Malachi, so it is today. And all of these questions, this theodicy, has made atheists out of young people and agnostics out of young people. And they are saying, if there's a God and he's a God of judgment, why don't he do something about the world's problems? Well, dear neighbor, I don't know everything. There's a lot I don't know. But you can mark this down. As he came in the world the first time, he shall come again and not tarry. And then sin and unrighteousness will be dealt with. And sinners and Satan will be thrown in the lake of fire. And God will avenge his name and his people again. And dear neighbor, there's a lot of perplexity today in the world. But the Lord will soon come, and all of this will be put down. And in the moments I have left, I have forethought here to give you about his second coming, why I know he's coming soon. And I want you to jot these thoughts down and study them when the program's over today. Now, number one, I know that he's coming back again because of the guilt, sin, transgression, iniquity, whatever you call it. I want to use the word guilt for the sake of the outline. Even in the religious world, Now, this year, we've heard about the PGL. And I don't know none of these folks personally. But when all of that happened at Charlotte, I used to put out a little book of a month of sermon outline. And in the front of that book, I sent out 700, I believe it was. Or, well, maybe I didn't send all of them out, but several hundred went out. And if you'll get that book and read that article about PTL in the front of the book, I said that Mr. Falwell won't ever be able to handle anything that God's put his judgment on. Neighbor, when God judges, then the arm of flesh is too weak to help. And not a doubt in my mind that God didn't rain judgment down on that PTL. I read last week, or heard last week, that the Methodist Church had defrocked Oral Roberts for his fundraising. Anybody, dear neighbor, that will get up and say that God's going to kill him if you don't send money to him, that's a reprobate. That's a reprobate. And when you read about the guilt in the religious world, all of these preachers, dear neighbor, more interested in money than they are the souls of men. That makes me know that we're way down the road toward judgment, guilt with preachers, guilt with politicians. I'm going to preach if they throw me off. I've made up my mind that I'm going to preach. Look at Biden, who no doubt would have been the nominee for the Democratic Party. Look at Kennedy. Look, dear neighbor, at these leaders in Atlanta that wobble down the road drunk and call themselves a preacher. I'd die before I'd ever recognize one of them as a preacher. They're not preachers. The Bible said no drunkards shall enter the kingdom of God. And the Bible said they that live after the flesh shall not enter the kingdom of God. And the guilt in the preachers and in the politicians and in the parents that's going along with all this free sex among the young people. Oh, it's a sad day, dear neighbor. But God help you that you'll never get to the place where you will be like Israel before he came the first time and say, "Where is the God of judgment?" I'll tell you where he's at. He's in heaven, dear neighbor. And when it comes time, he'll deal with the sin of this world. He'll deal with the sin of this world. And you can count on that. I know he's coming because the guilt is like it was in the days of Noah. And then I know he's coming because of the guff. I'm talking about that Persian guff. 26 years ago, I started preaching on this radio. And I told you then that the end would come in the Middle East. And dear neighbor, I don't believe that they'll ever get that Persian guff quieted down. Now, they may back off a little bit, and there may be moments of temporary peace, but Russia and Iran in the book of Ezekiel, when they come against Israel, are arm in arm. And in the Security Council, when our nation tried to put a blockade around Iran, Russia bucked that, dear neighbor. And Russia shooting the artillery, the guns, the bullets, and the finance into Iran to keep that war going, dear neighbor, across that Gulf. And one day, Russia and Iran will get together. And they'll come down through Turkey. If you read Ezekiel, it talks about Togarmah, and that's Turkey. and they'll come through Syria and up to the Golan Heights and down on the little nation of Israel. And then God will show the world who the God of judgment is. God's going to burn up the communists, and God's going to cremate them and bury them, dear neighbor, on the hills of Israel, just as sure as this Bible is the Word of God. And I know it's near the end because of the guilt of the world, the gulf where all of this end time war is now starting. And then because of all the grief, the Lord said that right before the tribulation there would be days of sorrow, days of sorrow. And oh, what a world we live in today. There's wars, there's herpes, there's AIDS, there's divorce, there's broken homes, there's sorrow on the right and on the left. There's grief, dear neighbor, everywhere you look, there's grief. And the guilt, the gulf, and the grief of this world tells me that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is right at hand. Now, neighbor, I'm not a prophet. All I've got is the Bible, like you've got. But I do know that it's always darkest before the dawn. And some of you saints are weary. I got a letter from Covington the other day, and a precious lady and man whom I love dearly said, "We're almost ready to give up, Brother Edgar. Don't give up. Don't, dear neighbor, lay down the arms. We're too near the end of the battle to quit now. The war will soon be over, and we'll meet him in the air." And the Bible said we shall forever be with the Lord. Father, bless the word. I know, dear God, if you breathe on this word, it'll be blessed. None can stop your blessing. Bless the word to the heart of your children. I pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The time's gone. Pray for me. And tune in again the next time is my prayer in his name. Amen.